And we're back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. That would be Alabama. I mean to say, the show sends its signal way on down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi, thrown in just for good measure. Hey, by the way, ZLA Solutions, been with us since day one, but ZLA Solutions, epic good at what they do, all right? They are out there doing all kinds of business end solutions to help businesses improve their processes, but one of the things they do is also help businesses find the people they need. So if you're looking for employees, you need them. It doesn't matter if it's onesies and twosies, small niche type skills you're hard to find, or a whole shift of people to run a factory line or anything else for that matter. They can help you with that. ZLA Solutions, I like to always say it's blue collar, white collar, no collar, it don't matter. At ZLA Solutions, they can do the recruiting, the background checks, the drug testing, and get you the people that you need. Like they like to say, at ZLA, we don't make it, we just make it better. Well, that's the deal, man. ZLA Solutions, check out their website, ZLAUSA.com. That's ZLA Solutions at ZLAUSA.com. Friends of mine, so tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. So I will say this, Boomer. It was kind of funny. We came back from that power outage.
Yeah.
And I swear her signal was better than it was before. Did you notice that?
It sounded better.
Maybe we had a cleansing.
Is what it was just cleansing.
It was a cleansing.
Cleansing the clean.
That's right. We had the pipes cleaned. but I don't know if you, this is to me one of those things. Like when I first started doing this, the radio, we went live over a year and a half ago. I mean, July will be actually 2 years in July.
Wow.
Oh, man. So that means we're only two and a half months away from a two-year anniversary. But nonetheless, the very first day I broadcast the show, I would call it a soft launch because they had me on the air like a week prior. And then lo and behold, I am 20 minutes into my first ever broadcast from this location. Boom! Power went out. And I don't mean like,
not a little bit.
Not like we did a while ago where it went out and came back on. It was like, it was gone. I was done. We were shut down. And all I could do was call the studio, man. And so here's the funny thing. I called the studio and I said, I am down. Power's out. I got no lights, no nothing. And Dale Jackson, you know, WBNN up in Huntsville, that's where we were at the time. He rushed into the studio, started talking on the air, just talking. Ah! And but then he called Jeff Poor.
Yeah.
And got him on the air with him. And then he called me and got, that is how Grand Council got started.
Really?
It got started because of the power.
That's pretty cool.
So I thought,
of the power outage.
That's right. I thought, I'm not letting anybody else keep this idea. I'm grabbing it for myself. So to this day, we do Grand Council every week because the power I went out on my
very
first day.
Where did the Grand Council, like the word, like, phrase. You just made it up. Yeah, good job.
Yeah. And I had him do a sound effect and everything. Yeah. It was great. Hey, we're in this thing, this weaponization of government piece. You know, and first of all, I will tell you, I am of the firm belief that there is a place for government. I'm not one of those like, oh, government's bad. Everybody down there is corrupt. I don't believe that. Not at all. I mean, I used to have a guy that I worked with who would say, they're all corrupt. And I'd say, well, I was down there. Was I corrupt? Well, you are the exception. Thank you. But yeah, the reality is, there are good men and women doing good governance everywhere you turn. But I'm sick to death of the deep state and some of the high ranking getting in there and making it their own little fiefdom and doing things to preserve their own power and their own notions. When the reality is, if you want to run for office, then get your raggedy self out there and go run for office where you're allowed to make decisions that you're trying to make without running for office. You know, putting things in place like regulatory fiats through departments and targeting of people's viewpoints that are not subversive and that are not dangerous simply because they differ. I'm saying that's wrong. And it is the kind of thing that breaches trust. And in fact, I've got an article, where is that one? Within the overall stack of stuff that I've got here, one of them just flat out says that where we are right now is the FBI has got to regain trust. It is violated trust. Here it is. Jason Chaffetz wrote this one. Former Congressman Jason Chaffetz, now a contributor to Fox News. He starts off by saying, this is dated today, by the way, who's going to trust the Department of Justice now? He says, in the wake of Special Counsel John Durham's long-awaited report, Americans now know there was widespread political collusion and deliberate deception from the very top of the Obama administration, the Clinton campaign, the corporate media, and the Department of Justice, all in favor of Democrats. And not only did they abuse that power and lie to the public, they seem to be very proud of it. And that's exactly the way it feels. When you find out that parents who just want to speak out at the school board like their First Amendment right allows them to, and oh, by the way, it's their children, and they're going to be targeted by the FBI. One of the whistleblowers said that he was, I believe his focus was on human trafficking and abuse of minors, and he was pulled off those cases to go sit in school board parking lots and take note of activities going on at school board meetings. What? I mean, come on. And then you look at stuff like what I was talked about earlier with Alyssa Murphy from National Catholic Register about Catholics being targeted. Well, Jason Chaffetz goes on to point out both Democrats and Republicans should fear what comes next if we don't clip the wings of rogue federal agencies and institute some serious systemic changes. Because he points out, if they can do what they did to Trump, then they can do it to anyone. And that's the thing. Not everybody's going to be a billionaire able to hire any lawyer in the world to help him work through the processes. I mean, most people are going to be like the January 6 folks, some of whom really screwed up and needed to go to jail, honestly. But many of whom just happened to be there and made the mistake of walking in the door being swept up in the moment and then stood there and took selfies. And because their cell phone records indicate that they were in the Capitol, they became the target of a prosecution persecution. Well, we've got an article here on the Epoch Times dated yesterday. House Judiciary Republicans on May 18th unveiled a whistleblower report showing serious abuse and misallocation of resources. And one of the whistleblowers described the FBI as having become cancerous. And they go on to talk about a number of things that just make you cringe when you think about the fact that even whistleblowers with stellar records who have been identified by the FBI themselves for valor and for high commendation, they become targeted because they dare to speak out. And then you look at it and go, what are we going to do about this? And the Federalist wrote a piece. Jordan Boyd in the Federalist 2 days ago, his point is, and the headline says, the explosive Durham report proves that Republicans cannot afford to cower in the fight against government weaponization. The concluding line of that whole article literally says, if Republicans want to hold the federal government accountable for waging war against its own citizens, they must act now or risk losing the chance forever. Folks, we cannot, I mean, that I hate the fact that we have to have these constant haranguing type meetings where the openings, you know, the questions are really speeches, and, you know, and they assault the witnesses, and then they love the witnesses, and they assault the witnesses, and they love the witnesses. But you know what? At the very least, someone is finally calling things on the carpet. And we have a 306-page report from John Durham. And we have literally a government sworn to protect the people, creating partisan schemes, by the way, to take down American citizens for daring to be, I don't know, what, Americans? And if you break the law, you break the law, absolutely. And if you can see a lawbreaker heading into a law-breaking mode, you have a duty to say something. But the idea that we're going to begin targeting people simply because they are concerned parents or practicing Catholics, that's not the America that we all grew up with. It just ain't. Don't try and tell me it is. That's a weaponization of our government against its people. So the article here in the Federalist says, so far, Republican-led investigations are making good progress, yet at the end of the day, committee hearings and letter-writing campaigns and press conferences are simply empty threats to people like former FBI Director James Comey, who repeatedly refuses to answer questions about his whole role in the Russia collusion hoax. That's where we are, and I'll be honest with you. We got to keep our eyes on the prize. All right, boom, take us to the last break of the day. We'll do that. We'll come right back. And I got to tell you, I got to jump back onto something that was in one of my earlier dippers, and bring up the idea of how is artificial intelligence going to help us in military recruiting? I'm going to ask Boomer to postulate that with me. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, where common sense is a superpower. Hey, listen, I got to tell you about the ELM Foundation. ELM, E-L-M, stands for Expect Little Miracles. The ELM Foundation, doing some cool stuff to change people's lives. They're based out of Huntsville. They're 501c3. And their mission in life is to help people get off the streets, to find their means of productivity again, to restore their self-worth. And they do it not just like throwing money at it like a government program would do. No, they're literally walking people through a plan, giving them milestones they have to meet, holding them accountable, but at the same time loving them and through it. And the ELM Foundation is making a difference. And so I want to encourage you, check them out. Their website is ELMHSV, as in ELM Huntsville, ELMHSV.org. And they're a 501c3, like I said, so if you wanted to support them, cool. But just know this, every dollar you give goes to programs because they have a benefactor who has already underwritten all of their administrative costs, everything. So that's very cool. So yeah, check them out, the ELM Foundation at elmhsv.org. All right, I'll tell you what, I gotta just revert back to a piece. So earlier in the show, I did a whole segment. My first dipper was called Military Minded. And I was covering just a variety of different military stories, some of which got some attention and, you know, and like the whole idea that now all you have to do to pass the PT test on day one is 10 push-ups. I mean, for the love. All right. So, Boomer, I got a story here, though. This one, I pulled this one off of Fox. Mm-hmm. It's about 2 or 3 days old. Military recruiting's in the tank, right?
Yes.
All right. So the Army, it points out again, it missed its recruiting goal by almost 15,000-ish recruits. It's like 25% below its target. Mm. So they're having to cut their active duty strength from 476 to 466, you know, just 1,000. All said and done, it ain't good. So one of the things this article suggests, the Government Accountability Office is determining that they are not going to see a plan anytime soon, apparently, for recruiting. So the article suggests that maybe we should use artificial intelligence to develop and streamline recruiting by the use of algorithms to pre-pick people who would make good recruits so that recruiters can maximize their time.
So wait, the AI stuff, isn't that the stuff that they were going to shut down for the time being?
Like the kind of stuff that's scary.
Right.
So
right.
First of all, if you're going to use AI, by the way, to pick out just the right kind of person who should serve, I would point out that Audie Murphy got turned down. One of the most highly decorated soldiers in U.S. history got turned down for government service or military service.
Yeah.
Because he was underweight, I believe. And then right here in Gadsden, one of my personal heroes, Colonel Ola Lee Mize, was a Medal of Honor winner, Green Beret, all of it. And he was so small, he got turned down like 3 times by the military.
Really? Okay. Yeah. What about everybody knows this man, Captain America?
Oh,
well, yeah, he was.
How many times
down.
Captain America get turned down?
He got
down?
Beat up in the streets. I mean, come on, he got turned down many times.
That's right. I'm just.
But seriously, if they're getting turned down, if they're following the AI algorithm, is not going to get it right, and it's going to go into our personal information even more.
Okay, good point. So you're right. For there to be an algorithm that selects you early, they have to know who you are and track you.
Oh, see, that's just scary. Don't
creep show.
No.
Yeah. Get out of my place. Get out of my space. Yeah. Get out of my way. Get out of my face.
Zero. No
more. So you're the parent of two little perfect kids, right?
Yeah.
All right. Do you want the government tracking them from the time they're young to help assess what they should be when they grow up.
No, because one, they're jumping into our personal lives. Two, then they're telling them what they should and shouldn't be.
And they're limiting them. That's right.
Exactly.
Because I can tell you right now, Colonel Ola Lee Myers was rejected. He, by the way, he was not only rejected by the military multiple times and then went to Korea and won the Medal of Honor. Then he went on to become one of the founders of the Army Special Forces. The Combat Dive School is still named after him. He was a legend in SF, in Green Berets. And yet he was rejected for service.
Man, and isn't this getting a little hairy? Like, I mean, other countries tried to do this?
Soviet Union used to do this. So the Soviet Union used to target people when they were young and begin to pigeonhole them as to what they would be when they grew up. You shall be a teacher. You appear to be an athlete. You shall be a factory worker.
Again, limiting their actual gifts and, no thank you.
I feel bad about this.
I feel very bad about this. Is this something that we vote on, or is this something they just put in place?
Right now it's just a speculative article. I mean, I'm looking at the article. It's up on, by the way, the resources are up online. If you want to see the various stories, and I had some good ones today, man. But if you want to go to the website, rightsideradio.org, on the live stream page, there is a button that says resources. Go to that, and every article that I rattle in the microphone is linked there so you can find it. This one is called Deploy AI to Solve the Military's Recruiting Crisis. I just don't know about this. No, I'm thinking not. It goes on to say in the article, specifically, the AI-enabled capabilities that can maintain respect of individuals' privacy while efficiently identifying those young Americans most likely have the interest and ability to join, the data is already out there in the public space and within the Department of Defense. The capabilities exist to analyze this information at speed and in volumes previously not possible. No.
No, thank you.
There's no way they can possibly say they're respecting privacy while efficiently identifying young Americans who might eventually have an interest in joining the military.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Screw that.
Yep.
That's what I'm saying. I'm pretty sure that may verge on jackassery. What do you think?
I think so.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. All right, man, this has been some more kind of a full week. I mean, what all did we have this week? It's blurred together.
It is all blurred together, but it was good.
Even today, we stacked the guests up and had the triple dipper, and even still, because I dared to mention Ruth Bader Ginsburg, John only gave me a B-.
John gave you a B-.
He gave you an A+ for getting us back online when the power went out.
Thanks, John.
Rats! I'm pretty sure if I deployed my AI algorithm, it would say that I got an A+.
I don't know. You're conservative, so AI doesn't like conservative.
Okay, but I'm not Catholic, so there's that.
There's that.
All right. Well, listen, we don't power outage or none. We're back on the air, and I'm glad of it. And the funny thing I pointed out earlier was the reason why we have a grand council every single week is because we had a power outage once, and next thing I know, to fill in the gaps, we had myself and Dale Jackson and Jeff Poore on the show. So good things can happen.
Absolutely.
When you have a power outage.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, listen, you guys have an amazing weekend. We do what we do simply because of this audience. We could sit here and talk into a can all day long. It wouldn't make a difference. Ain't nobody out there listening. So you guys are an amazing group, all you Right Side Ruffians. And we live to serve. And I'm telling you, this show, every single week, what I want you to get out of it is that we are here to do what I call the 4 E's. We're going to educate, enlighten, empower, and entertain you on what it means to walk as a conservative in today's world. But that's just the mission. The message is what drives it. And the message is that every single week I want you to hear, Jesus is Lord, America's great, Alabama's beautiful, and by the way, life is worth living. You guys have an amazing weekend. We're back here on Monday. See you then.